Praise the Lord. All righty. Good to see everybody. And you know what your pastor did for me, him and Sister Kathy? Today is my 38th birthday. Do I look 38? People are kind of laughing at me, look at me like, God bless you, Brother Kogel. We don't want to tell you the truth, but this is my spiritual birthday today. And you know what they did for, we ate earlier, and Sister Kathy brought a little cake out, and it said, Happy Birthday, Steve. 38 years old. Man, I feel like I'm 38. Got saved on June the 16th, 1977. 38 years ago. Praise the Lord. Started preaching 8 months later in February of 78. I stood up and announced my call to preach. And old brother Delmer Hamilton, old Kentucky boy from Kentucky, he got up and I announced my calling to preach. And I was scared to death. I only been saved 8 months. And after the service, it was Thursday night service, and he said, Brother Steve, did God call you to preach, son? And I said, yes, sir. And he said, good. He goes, I want you to preach Sunday night. I thought he was talking about, you know, a month from now or something. And he looked at me like, amen, like, hey, that's good. Like I said, and I looked at him, I go, you mean this Sunday night? And he goes, yeah. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That church, God didn't keep me there very long, but that church, they just believe you get up, God fills your mouth. If you study, if you have notes, that's of the devil. And that wasn't my home church. That was the church I happened to go to. The guy that led me to the Lord, they just had revival, and he wondered if I wanted to go. But anyways, make a long story short, I got up, and I'm telling you what, I was so nervous. My knees were knocking, broke out in a cold sweat. And I was up for about 4 or 5 minutes. I don't even know what I said. And they acted like it was the greatest message they ever heard in their life. It wasn't worth 5 cents. And, you know, all the older Christians, you know, and they said, oh. And I felt like a complete failure. Now I get up and I can't shut up. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I get up for a little bit longer than 4 or 5 minutes now. Let's turn to Malachi chapter 1, the last book in the Old Testament, of course. Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1. And let's look there at Malachi chapter 1. And verse number 6. Malachi chapter 1, verse number 6. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? I think Father's Day is coming up on Sunday. Be a good text. If I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts, unto you, O priests, that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been by your means. Will he regard your persons, saith the Lord of hosts? Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do ye kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hand. For from the rising of the sun, even of the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye have profaned it, in that ye say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. Ye also said, behold, what a weariness is it. And ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth, and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the good singing again tonight, Father. We pray that you'll bless the preaching of the word of God. Father, I pray that you would help me tonight to preach exactly what you'd have me to preach. Help me to preach it in the right spirit. And Father, I pray for Holy Ghost revival, Lord, in this church and in this country, dear Lord. God, it's terrible to watch my country going to hell in a handbasket, Lord, as I look around, Father, and the things socially and politically and spiritually and morally and economically and every way possible. God, I just pray, wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? I pray in Jesus' name and amen. I'm not preaching on this tonight, but when we were reading here, verse 13, ye also said, behold, what a weariness is it. That's the way a lot of God's people have gotten today. It's a weariness for them to be in the house of the Lord. It's a weariness for them to read their Bible. I mean, they act like you say something about coming to church faithfully or reading the Bible or praying or something like that, you know, living for God. They act like you just stabbed them in the heart with a 15-inch butcher knife. And what a weariness, they said it is. What a weariness is it? And ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. But this here in Malachi chapter 1 is the sins of the priest here. And God condemns them here. We read the verses, but I want to call your attention tonight to verse number 8, Malachi 1:8. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. And look at these words right in the middle of this verse. Will he be pleased with thee? I want to preach on those six words. Will he be pleased with thee? Jesus Christ said in John 8:29, for I do always those things that please him. Talking about pleasing God the Father. Proverbs 16, verse 7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. In Romans 15, 1-3, Paul said, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. Now we realize that an unsaved person cannot please God. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, you're not saved, the Bible says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be, in Romans 8, verses 7 and 8. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Boy, I thank God I'm saved. I got the Spirit of God. Amen. And all through the Bible, we see examples of people who were more interested and concerned in pleasing people rather than God. And as long as you seek to be a people pleaser, you probably never will amount to a whole lot for the Lord. You have to get a divorce from public opinion. A divorce from public opinion. And when it comes to pleasing God and serving God. Pilate, it says about Pilate in Mark 15:15. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. Pilate was a people pleaser. We have no record of Pilate ever getting saved. And Pilate didn't have the backbone. He was a little jellyfish. He was a little noodle back. He didn't have any guts. He wouldn't stand there. He said, why? They said, crucify. He said, why? What evil hath he done? And he says three times in John 18:38, John 19:4, and John 19:6, I find no fault in him. But he did not have the guts to say, you take him and crucify him. Jesus, I want to get saved. How do I get saved? We don't have any record he ever did that. And Pilate knew there was something different about this man, Jesus. Probably been burning in hell for 2,000 years now. I think about, we read where Herod was vexing certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it please the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also, the Bible says. And so Herod was a people pleaser. He saw that it pleased the Jews. Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound in Acts 24, verse 27. Willing to show the Jews a pleasure. He was a people pleaser. Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, it says in Acts 25, verse 9. When during Herod's birthday, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. It says in Matthew 14 and verse 6. Many Christians are also people pleasers. We read in John 12:42-43, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. In John 12:42-43. So they love the praise of men more than the praise of God, so they didn't confess Christ. Years ago, at a meeting of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, Bobby Richardson, who was a former New York Yankees second baseman, he offered a prayer that is classic in its brevity and poignancy. He said, Dear God, your will, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else, amen. That's pretty good, amen? And that's a pretty short prayer, but it's right to the point. But we see that people are people pleasers today. That's why a lot of people don't get saved. The first thing the devil said to me about when I was thinking about getting saved and God was dealing with my heart is, what will so-and-so think? What will people think? And then a few months later, when I got up and announced my calling to preach, the devil really worked on me. He said, you crazy nut. You just told people a few months ago you got saved. I'm saved. Now you're going to tell them God's called me to preach. This is what he told me. He said, they're going to think you're a nut. I mean, within 8 months, I got saved. Now I'm called to preach. I mean, the devil will work on your head about stuff, and that's where the battleground is. The only way that we're going to know if the Lord is pleased with us now and if he'll be pleased with us at the judgment seat of Christ, if you're saved, is to find out what pleases the Lord. And I'm going to give you several things. First of all, number one, Jesus Christ pleases God. Jesus Christ was being baptized in Matthew chapter 3. And the Bible says, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Matthew 3:17. At the Mount of Transfiguration, in Matthew 17:5, God the Father's voice said again, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. In 2 Peter 1, 16 to 18, Peter said, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, saying, 'This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came from heaven," Peter said, "this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the holy mount." That's 2 Peter 1, verses 16 to 18. Have you received him today? Do you obey him? Do you love him? Isaiah 53, 10, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him." You know what pleases God the Father? His Son, Jesus Christ. Not Allah, not Muhammad, not Buddha, not Mary, not the Pope, not some preacher or anything like that. If he does the will of God, I guess he does please the Lord. But I want to tell you what, who pleases God the Father is the Lord Jesus Christ. No religious leader. No, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. "For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell," Colossians 1:19. And I think I quoted this earlier, John 8:29. Jesus said, "For I do always those things that please him," that please God the Father. And so Jesus Christ pleases. And a lot of these television ministers today, and a lot of this so-called preaching that you hear around America in the pulpits and on TV and radio today, they talk about the supposed plan of salvation, and very little is said about Jesus Christ. They talk about all this other stuff and all this other junk, but they don't talk about Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me," in John 14, 6. In Acts 4, 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved," in Acts 4, 12. So first of all, Jesus Christ pleases God the Father. Secondly, the second thing that pleases God is preaching. Preaching pleases God, which is slowly vanishing from the United States of America. Preaching. And we got all kinds of seminars and feminars and rap sessions and all kinds of things going on today. But 1 Corinthians 1:21 is the verse. "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Now, he didn't say that preaching is foolish, the foolishness of preaching. What he's saying there is that you and I know that preaching is not foolish, but to the world it is, the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I mean, here you are on a Tuesday night sitting in those padded pews, staring up here at me. I'm foaming at the mouth and spitting and hollering up here with my veins and my neck popping. And I'm up here on this platform. This is foolish to the unsaved world. That's why they've concocted all these other ways to get to heaven. You have to be baptized. You got to be good. You got to go to catechism for 59 years. You got to do this. You got to do a cartwheel. You got to talk in tongues. You got to do this. You got to give a bunch of money to the church, and you'll get prayed out of purgatory. They have all these different ways, all these different churches. And the reason why is because this is too simple. But this is what pleased God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Preaching pleases God. You really think about how foolish preaching is. And, you're out here tonight, as I mentioned there, and you're staring up here at me, and I'm up here preaching out of the Word of God. But this is God's plan. This is God's program. This is God's way that He has designed. Isaiah 55, 11, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth," God said. "It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." That's Isaiah 55, 11. Did you know that hard, sound, bold, compassionate, spirit-filled preaching pleases God and gets a lot of people upset? People don't like preaching. I've noticed out on the street, I don't do a whole lot of street work lately, but I mean, years ago there, I'd go, out on the street with different churches and things like that. We preach on the street and pass out tracts. And it's been a while since I personally have been out on the street. But I love it. I have nothing against it. But I notice when you're out on the street, and the devil doesn't get riled up too much when you're passing out tracts. Maybe a little bit, but you know, they just think you're passing out literature for some little festival or something, you know. But you start passing out literature, that devil don't get too riled up. But I'm going to tell you, when the devil starts getting riled up is when this begins. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever..." You start that, and the demons of hell get all stirred up. The demons of hell get all stirred up. Any kind of street work like that. You can pass out tracts and you hold up signs. You'll get a few people mad and irritated. They'll cuss you out, you know, and make gestures at you and so forth, you know, as they walk by and so forth. But I'll tell you what, when the demons really get stirred up is when they start preaching the Word of God. There's something about preaching. It pleases God. It pleases God. So Ronnie Simpson, a preacher, said, if you're right with God, you'll enjoy it. And if you're not right with God, you need it. Amen. Preaching needs to be spirit-filled. Paul said, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, you know what people have done? They've used that verse to teach that a preacher, all he's supposed to preach is Jesus and him crucified. That's not what he's saying there. You know why he's saying that? He's saying that to a confused, messed up church. They were confused about tongues, foreign languages. They were taking each other to court in chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians. They had a man committing fornication with his father's wife in chapter 5. They were messed up. He called them a bunch of carnal babies in chapter 3. And that's why he said, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. So that's why he said, and I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and crucified, because that's all they could handle. But you go over there in Thessalonica, the Thessalonian church, he talked to them about the Antichrist, 2 Thessalonians 2. He talked about them about the Antichrist coming there and how the Lord's going to destroy him and all that future events. He talked, Paul taught more than just Jesus and him crucified, but to a carnal church like the Corinthian church, this tongue-talking church, he said, I determined not to do anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God, in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 to 5. I read this story. A committee of ministers in a certain city years ago, many years ago, was discussing the possibility of having D.L. Moody to serve as an evangelist during a citywide evangelistic campaign. Finally, one young minister who did not want to invite Mr. Moody stood up and said, why Moody? Does he have a monopoly of the Holy Spirit? There was silence. Then an old godly minister spoke up and said, no, Mr. Moody does not have a monopoly of the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit has a monopoly on D.L. Moody. And that's what we need. We need the Holy Spirit to have a monopoly on us and to walk in the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit of God, trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. And the Bible, I jotted these down. A lot of preachers, a lot of people today, when they so-called preach, Peter said they have great swelling words of vanity, 2 Peter 2:18. They have great swelling words, Jude 16. They have feigned words, 2 Peter 2, verse 3, where they deceive the people. They have flattering words, 1 Thessalonians 2, 5. They have enticing words, I just quoted that a moment ago, 1 Corinthians 2, 4. They have good words and fair speeches, deceive the hearts of the simple, Romans 16, verse 18. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. There's a lot of simple-minded people in this country, and they go after every little spiritual so-called person in the world. Good words and fair speeches. Not only should preaching be spirit-filled, but the preacher should not seek to please people but God. Paul said in Galatians 1:10, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 2:4, Paul said, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. God will try the heart of a preacher to see if he is going to be a people pleaser according to the word of God. Hard, sound, bold, compassionate, spirit-filled preaching pleases God. Will he be pleased with thee? So we see that Jesus Christ pleases God. Faith pleases God. I'll tell you something else that pleases God. And that is walking upright. Walking upright pleases God. That verse is found in 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Boy, I wrote down a bunch of walks. This is a sermon right here. Many people today are walking every way, but their upright way. Some people walk after other gods, Deuteronomy 8:19. Some people walk in the imagination of their heart, Jeremiah 13:10. Some people walk in lies, Jeremiah 23:14. Some walk in pride, Daniel 4:37. Some like to walk in long robes, Luke 20:46. Some walk disorderly, 2 Thessalonians 3:11. Some walk after the flesh, 2 Peter 2:10. Some walk in darkness, 1 John 1:6. And some walk after their own ungodly lust, Jude verse 18. How are you walking tonight? Will he be pleased with thee? By walking upright and keeping God's commandments, we please him. There's no way that an unsaved person can walk with God. The Bible says in Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? An unsaved person is not in agreement with God. They haven't even received God's Son, the Lord Jesus, and been saved yet. So that's why an unsaved person can't please God. They can go to a church. They can sit there and listen to preaching or teaching or whatever. They can partake of communion and so forth. They can do all these things and try to live a good, holy life. But unless they're saved, of course, they can't go to heaven. And so how are you walking? Are you walking upright? After we receive Jesus Christ, we should walk upright because it pleases God. Walking upright consists of many walks. Walk in love, Paul said, Ephesians 5:2. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, Colossians 4, verse 5. We're to walk by faith, not by sight, 2 Corinthians 5:7. We're to walk honestly, Romans 13:13 and 1 Thessalonians 4:12. We're to walk in the Spirit, Galatians 5:16. We're to walk in the light as he is in the light, 1 John 1:7. And we're to walk humbly, according to Micah 6, verse 8. How are you walking tonight? Will he be pleased with thee? Walking upright pleases God. Many unsaved and saved people fit the verse in Jeremiah 6, verse 16. Listen to this. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Folks, that's America. That is America. We ought to walk upright, not only because it pleases God, because if we don't, then good things will be withheld from us. That's what Psalms 84:11 says. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. He won't withhold good things from us if we walk uprightly. Not only that, but Proverbs 2:7 says, he is a buckler, a shield to them that walk uprightly. Praise God. Amen. Mr. Charles Weigel, who composed the favorite song, No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus, was visiting Pasadena, California one day. Early that morning, he had an opportunity to walk through some of the famous rose gardens when the full fragrance of the flowers filled the air. Later in the day, he arrived at the hotel where a Bible conference was being held. As he took his seat, a man turned to him and said, "Mr. Weigel, I know where you've been. You toured one of our lovely gardens, for I can smell the pleasing aroma on your clothing." Mr. Weigel thought to himself, "My prayer is that I may walk so closely with the Lord that the fragrance of His grace will pervade my being." There's something about that. There's something about a man or a woman or a young person that walks with God. People can see it on you. They see it when you speak. They see it when you talk and speak. They see it when you the way you're dressed. They see it the way you carry yourself. They see the way your actions are. There's something about walking with God that you have the power of God in your life. A lot of the old time saints did. They walk with God. Not every one of them, and I'm not saying they're all perfect. I'm saying they walk with God. I remember I went down. this is before I heard Dr. Don Green say that he believes the most, and he said this in 1983. 32 years ago he said this, when Dr. Percy Ray was still living. The year before I even met Dr. Green, in 82, I was living in southern Ohio there, and I went down to Percy Ray's camp meeting in Myrtle, Mississippi. I think it's Mississippi. Yeah. Bill Maynard and who was somebody else, we all three of us went down there. And I'd heard about Dr. Percy Ray, how he walked with God and loved, prayed several hours a day and all this. We went down there, and Southern Baptists, I'm going to tell you what, them Southern Baptist boys got up to preach, they preached the bark off a tree. I'm telling you. And of course, this is, you know, in 83. And I remember we were checking in, we had to register for the camp meeting, Myrtle, Mississippi. I think it's called Mount Zion campground. And I'm just, you can call me a weirdo, you can say whatever you want. But I didn't know who he was. But I was standing there checking out and we were talking and everything, and all of a sudden I felt somebody come behind me and I looked and it was him. And he had cowboy boots on, he had a hat on. He was up in years then. Had a gravelly old voice like Harold Seitler did. Like that. I heard him saying something to somebody about, "Yeah, go get that, put that over there." And I looked, and when he walked by me, I can't explain it to you. I'm not trying to act spooky. I'm just telling you that it was like, there was something about when that man walked by, you could just see and feel God. You can call me crazy. You can say I'm whacked out, whatever you want. I remember Dr. Ruckman saying on one of them tapes, he said when he went to Bob Jones University from 1949 to 1955, he said when I was there, Bob Jones Senior was there. He said when he walked in a room, he said, "I'm just telling you," Dr. Ruckman said, he said, "there was something about the man." He said, "you just seen God and felt God." And then he started preaching, and he had that voice like, "the Bible says." Scare you half to death. Today, this is what we got today. We're going to share a little sermonette for the Christianettes who smoke their cigarettes. We hope we don't offend you. Isn't God lovely? I'm telling you something, man. I heard WEMM out of Huntington, West Virginia, they got Dr. Oliver B. Green on. Most Baptist churches wouldn't have Oliver B. Green in their church today. They wouldn't. You ought to hurt him. I think he was in a tent meeting or something. This is back, I'm talking about this in the 50s and 60s and 70s. This is probably in the 60s and 70s. Yeah, you should have heard him. He sounded just like Bob Jones Sr. Sounded just like Percy Ray. Dr. Green said Percy Ray is the most spiritual man in America. That's what I meant to say 5 minutes ago, but I got off on something else. Don Green said, Percy Ray, you say what you want, but Percy Ray is the most spiritual man in America. He said, if he ain't going to pray for me, I don't want him praying against me. Don Green said, that man's got, whew. He goes, whew, that man's got power of God. But today, what do we have? Old Oliver B. Green the other day, he goes, Bible says, you got to get saved Jesus' way. You can't get baptized. That won't save you. You don't like that? Leave. I mean, it was like, I said, man, I mean, I don't care. You know, it doesn't offend me. I don't think I've ever heard a preacher in my life that offends me. I ain't trying to be a smart aleck, but I'll sit right on the front row, man. Hey, man, he can preach against ice cream and cake and whatever. I don't care what he preaches against. Hey, praise God, brother. It don't matter to me. I could care less. People get offended. It's like, I heard Oliver B. Green. I thought, listen, I was in the car. I thought, man, I said it out loud in the car, and there's nobody else in the car, just me and the Lord. I said, God, 75-85% of the independent Baptist churches in America wouldn't let that guy preach a revival in their church today. No way, Jose. Too mean. Too rough and crude. Country's going to hell in a handbasket. Walking upright, please. I'm not saying you got to get up and be rude and crude and cuss people out and tell people off and all. I'm not saying that. Man, walking upright pleases God. Will he be pleased with thee? I'm saying that preaching pleases God. Spirit-filled, compassionate, loving, preaching, speaking the truth in love, preaching pleases God. Not only does Jesus Christ please God, preaching, and walking upright pleases God. But I'll tell you something else that pleases God. And this is what we got to have. Faith. We Baptists play this thing down because the charismatics, that's all they talk about. But Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I'm not a charismatic, but I'm going to tell you what. Jesus was constantly talking about faith. He said, O ye of little faith, Matthew 6:30. He said, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, Matthew 17:20. He said, if ye have faith and doubt not, Matthew 21:21. He said, how is it that ye have no faith? Mark 4:40. He said, have faith in God, Mark 11:22. He said, where is your faith? Luke 8:25. We read where the disciples, the apostles said unto the Lord in Luke 17:5, they said, increase our faith. Folks, that's what we ought to pray. That's what we got to pray today. God, increase our faith. Romans 14:23, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Faith is not believing that God can, but that God will. Faith sees the invisible, believes the incredible, and receives the impossible. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the antecedent of it is faith. For by it, the faith. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. How they obtained a good report? By faith. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. You say that's talking about unsaved people. No, it's talking about saved people. Hebrews 11 isn't talking about unsaved people. Talking about saved people. Talking about we as Christians, we can't please God without faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, he hadn't seen the flood yet, but she's a-coming. He believed it. You don't see hell yet, but you tell people if you don't get saved, you're going to go to hell. We believe it by faith because the Bible says it. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. He started getting that boat ready. Started working on a boat. Moved with fear. Prepared an ark to the saving of his house by the which he condemned the world. When he's building that ark, he was condemning the world. And became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Verse 10, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Hebrews 11, verses 1 to 10. Folks, we need faith. We got to have faith. Some Christians have more faith than others. That's all there is to it. I jotted these things down. Faith saves. For by grace are you saved through faith. Ephesians 2:8. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith saves. Faith serves. You serve God by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Faith supplies. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Faith sings. A person with no faith has no song. In Acts 16:25, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. After they just got beat, they just got whipped. And they're singing and praising God, and the prisoners heard them. And the jailer heard. And I'm sure the jailer's thinking, they're a bunch of nuts. I mean, they got beat. They probably got beat so bad they're in there singing. They don't even know they're singing. They knew they were singing. Faith sings. I'll tell you what. When it's dark in your Christian life and it looks like everything's against you, God will still give you a song down in the depths of your heart and soul. I want to thank God for that. Let me tell you something even better than that. Acts 16:25, Paul and Silas. Are you ready for this one? My Savior was getting ready to get murdered. And in Matthew 26:30, it says he's with his disciples, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out unto the Mount of Olives. I like him hymns. I'm not too much on this Christian contemporary gospel rock, Christian rock music, so-called, they got in America today. I think it's a bunch of baloney. I've never heard one song that would get a butterfly on our conviction. So I like the hymns because they talk about him. And they sung a hymn, they went out on the Mount of Olives. Now here's a man, he's God, but he's man. Here's a man that's getting ready to get nails in his hands and his feet. And before he gets that, he's going to get beat and whipped and tortured beyond recognition. And he knows it. See, you don't know how you're dying. And you don't know when you're dying. But he did. He knew when he was dying, exact second, and he knew how he was going to die. What a man and what a Savior. We got these guys running around. I'm not saying there's anything against it about lifting weights and, you know, you want to get muscular or whatever, whatever. That's between you and the Lord. We got men around this country that they can lift 800 pounds, you know, 600 pounds or whatever. But they're spiritual sissies. They get in a warfare with the devil. They don't know what to do. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you who a man is. A man is Jesus Christ. He knew how he was going to die. He knew the way he was going to die. He knew when he was going to die and still is singing. I don't know about you, but if I knew within the next 24 hours, Matthew 26, he got murdered and crucified, the next chapter 27. So within 24 hours, if I knew at 8:15 tonight, Tuesday night, June 16, 2015, if I knew that sometime tomorrow night, within 24 hours from now, I'm going to get nails. They're going to hang me up on a cross. I'm going to get beat half to death before I get there. And then they're going to put nails in my feet and in my hands. And I'm going to be up for about 6 hours hanging on a cross, dying an excruciating death. I don't know that I would be praise him, singing that much tonight. I'd be saying, oh God, why me? Why do I have to go through this? Amen? Is he a savior or not? Is he a wonderful God tonight? Boy, I want to thank God. Amen? Faith sings. I wish I could preach an hour on that. I better get going here. And then faith stands. Faith saves, serves, supplies. Faith sings and faith stands. 2 Corinthians 1:24. Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith you stand. 2 Corinthians 1:24. Ephesians 6:16, above all, taking the shield of faith. The shield of faith. Here's the shield of faith. Devil just sits back, has the darts. Dart of discouragement. Get that shield up and go boom. Dart of lust. Dart of laziness. Dart of unfaithfulness. Dart of 50-point outline. You got that shield of faith up? The average Christian's like this. I'm so tired. But I went to the ball game. I went to the yard sale and the garage sale. I went to Walmart, shopped for 6 hours. I'm so tired for the Lord. I can't do nothing for the Lord. I'm so tired. And them darts come in. See you later. Where's brother and sister so-and-so? I don't know, Brother Kogel. Darts got them. All the devil's darts. Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said, a little faith will bring your soul to heaven. A great faith will bring heaven to your soul. Number six. I hit this the other day, so I don't need to say a lot about this. But it's in the outline, so I'm going to share it. Communicating or giving pleases God, old English word. Galatians 6:6, let him that is taught in the word, that's your pastor, or that's you, communicate unto him that's your pastor that teacheth in all good things. So, pastor gets a salary. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Now the word communicate in the King James Bible has three meanings, depending on when how it's used. First of all, the obvious way that it's used is most people connect it with your talk, your speech, what comes out of your mouth. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So communication is speech. Ephesians 4:29. Then you have it used in 1 Corinthians 15:33. Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. That's who you associate with. That's who you hang around with. That's who you not hobnob around with. You wanted to hang around people that love God. And then thirdly, it's used in the sense of giving. And I quoted the verse here, Galatians 6:6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him, give unto him that teacheth in all good things. It's used again in Hebrews 13:16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. It seems that God's people today have enough money for hunting knives and guns and fishing equipment and new clothes and new cars, and nothing wrong with that, and boats and campers and new homes, but they can't give tithes and offerings to the church. There's some Christians that tip waiters and waitresses more money than they give to God. Some Christians spend more money on dog food, cat food, parakeet food, and everything else than they give to God. Someone said, giving to the Lord is but... You said, you preach like this all over the country? Oh, yes, I do, honey. I preached on this on the radio stations that we're on, too. And people just love it. Like the one man who called a while back, called the church while we're having service. He was very upset. I guarantee, told one of the women in the nursery, he answered the phone, I guarantee you he'll be off the air. Monday morning he'll be off the air. I'll get him off the air. We're not going to put up with that. I'm still on the air. Bunch of little wimps. Malachi 3:8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. 20,000 for my brand new car. 15,000 for a piece of sod. 10,000 I paid to begin a house. $1 I gave to God. A tidy sum to entertain my friends in pointless chatter. And when the world goes crazy mad, I ask, Lord, what's the matter? $1 I gave to God. Yet there is one big question for the answer I still search. With things so bad in this old world, what's holding back my church? $1 I gave to God. Communicating, giving, pleases God. Will he be pleased with thee? I read this in 1959. This is 56 years ago. An elderly couple donated 17,280 acres of West Texas farmland to the Wayland Baptist College. The land at that time, valued at that time, at more than $2 million. This is 56 years ago. Represents one of the largest individual gifts ever made to Christian education. I preached in a church a couple years ago in Ohio, and the pastor, some of you know him, he asked me, he said, he's got a millionaire lady in his church. Literally, no exaggeration. This woman's given her and her husband, he's dead, he died here 5, 6, 7 years ago. So she's left with all these millions. And her and her husband gave a bunch of money to I won't say one, but several colleges, Christian schools in Ohio, churches that were starting Christian schools. And this brother here wanted to start a Christian school, and she found out about it. And he didn't do it to get money out of her. She just found out. She went to him and said, did you want to start a Christian school? And he said, yeah. He said, but I don't. She said, why don't you do it? And he said, I don't have the facilities to do it. She said, go ahead and build them. I'll pay for it. This was years ago, so about $1.5 million. It was just a little wing. A few classrooms, nice big room they can play in. And so I've seen it. It's beautiful, absolutely beautiful. He said, now, tomorrow when I preach for him, I come in there on Saturday night. we went and got something to eat, and we're sitting there eating, and he said, tomorrow, he said, I want you to tell me if you can pick out the lady that's a millionaire. I said, well, okay, whatever. And she stuck out like a sore thumb. She wasn't dressed like real gaudy or nothing, but you just tell by looking at her, she had money. And she didn't flaunt it. She didn't act arrogant. But her and her husband are responsible for a lot of Christian schools and Christian, that's where their heart is Christian education for young people. They've given a bunch to colleges and for local churches to start Christian schools. Will he be pleased with thee? And then number six, quickly, children obeying their parents. Oh, that's a good one. That pleases God. Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Paul said one of the things in the last days is in Romans 1:30 and 2 Timothy 3:2, they'll be disobedient to parents. God's not pleased the United States because a lot of our homes, a lot of things going on in our homes, children run the homes in a lot of homes in America today. You read in the paper or hear on the news all kinds of junk going on. As parents, we're to train our children, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You say, I tried to do that preacher and my kid or my son or daughter and sons or daughters, whoever, they made bad decisions and done stupid things. Hey, you do what you can do. Try to get as much Bible as you can from the time they're born till the time they leave the nest there, your house or whatever. And you just pray to God that it takes in their heart and soul and brain and mind and everything. And they don't make stupid, dumb decisions and everything. You just pray to God about it and pray that the Lord will lead and guide and direct them. You do what you can do. A man said everything else in the modern home is now controlled by the flick of a switch. Why not the children? Amen. Another man said, you got that just a little bit late. Amen. You're doing all right. Another man said, the time to start correcting the children is before they start correcting you. You can't even preach on the home today, the average Baptist church. You'll split it. Oliver B. Green, where are you? Percy Ray, Don Green, where are the old timers? You can't preach. You preach King James Bible's Word of God, you get people mad. You preach, the pastor's supposed to run the church. You know, he's the spiritual leader in the church. And you get people in the church mad because they want to run the church. You get you preach on the home, and you do. You really going to get it. Because the average home, the woman and the kids run the home. So what are we going to say? Nothing. Jesus loves you. I love you. You love each other. Let's love each other. And that's it. I'm not doing it, fellas. I'm not doing it. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, Proverbs 15:5. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother, Proverbs 15:20. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old, Proverbs 23:22. Whoso robbeth his father or his mother and saith, it is no transgression, the same as the companion of a destroyer, Proverbs 28:24. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother, Proverbs 30:11. We can prolong our life by obeying our parents, or we can die a premature death by disobeying our parents, according to Ephesians 6:1-3. The Duke of Wellington years ago, the Duke of Wellington said, the thing that impresses me the most about America is the way that parents obey their children. Don't even get me started about this. I get rabid on this stuff. There's an old saying that says, you cannot change your ancestors, but you can do something about your descendants. Children obeying their parents pleases God. And then last of all, I want to say this. You say, whew, thank God, last of all, amen. Number seven. Giving him praise and thanksgiving pleases God. Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Verse 16, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Woo! Sometimes it's a sacrifice to give God praise and thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Psalms 34:1, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's the way God wants us. Psalms 69:30 and 31, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord. There it is. This also shall please the Lord. That's Psalm 69:30 and 31. Better than an ox or a bullock that hath horns and hoofs. We ought to praise God for salvation. We ought to praise him for the Word of God, the good old King James Bible, answered prayer. We ought to thank him for a mansion in heaven, our family, food, shelter, automobiles to drive. God's so good to us. I'll close with this. I read this story. When J. Wilbur Chapman was in London, England, he had an opportunity to meet General William Booth, who started the Salvation Army. Booth at that time was past 80 years of age. Chapman listened reverently as the old general spoke of the trials and the conflicts and the victories. The American evangelist, J. Wilbur Chapman, then asked the general if he would disclose his secret for success. Chapman said that Booth hesitated a second. And he said, I saw the tears come into his eyes and steal down his cheeks. And then he said this. He said, I will tell you the secret. God has had all there was of me. There have been men with greater opportunities than I and men with greater brains than I. But from the day that I got the poor of London on my heart and a vision of what Christ could do with the poor of London, I made up my mind that God would have all of William Booth that there is. He said, if there is anything of power, if there's anything of power in the Salvation Army today, and this was years ago, it is because God has all the adoration of my heart, all the power of my will, and all the influence of my life. Chapman said he went away from that meeting with General Booth knowing that the greatness of a man or woman's power is in the measure of their surrender. You know why some people have more power than others? They're just more surrendered. It don't take a rocket scientist. It's not a magical thing. Malachi 1:8, right towards the end of that verse, six words, will he be pleased with thee?